You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture will be in Philippians 3, 8 through the rest of the chapter. I would remind you that next Sunday is a celebration of our ninth year in this building. Lord willing, Charlie Johnson is going to be here with me on my trip, and he's going to bring the pictures, and we've got a scads of them, I'll tell you. I think it'll be really a thrill for you to travel with us as we follow the footsteps of Paul and to share with you some of the experiences that, rather our feelings, I should say, as we travel to some of these places where no tourist ever goes. And I say no tourist, I'm sure some do, but this is not the schedule. The schedule, as they could say. But it is was a real thrill. In fact, in our lesson today, it helped me an awful lot in seeing what we're going to be dealing with today. You see it, I think, in a very practical way, too. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, in order that I may get to know him and the power of his out-resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the out-resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything other you otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often weeping. Now I tell you weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is a waste, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, his grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen. We've been reminded of your faithfulness by the announcement and by the events of the last 2-3 weeks and the wonderful grace that's ours. And as much as we can this morning, we want to express that in our heart and our mind as you energize us to worship in spirit and truth. May the Holy Spirit be pleased now to take us aside from the other things that might hinder, and for these few minutes to cleanse us and sanctify us as a people unto yourself, that you might give us a blessing, a double portion this morning. I want to thank you for attending to the things that we need for that end, because we ask your grace here and now, and this grace, Father God, for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. In Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, in chapter 9, he writes these words. I'll just read it to you. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives in the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they, that is the world, they do it to run for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have been preached to others, I myself might be disqualified. through the life of Paul, he refers to this race. In the Hebrew letter, he says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that sets before us." As he finished the course of life in his last epistle in 2 Timothy 4, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's laid up for me now a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but all who, having loved his appearing or his divine intervention." And our last day in Philippians, in chapter 3, we learn that Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He has said before in verse 8 as we read, he said, "I count all things lost. I have one thing in mind, that goal that I'm looking for." And in verse 10 he said, verse 9, "I be found in him not having my own righteousness." This has to do with doctrine. Paul was well convinced of this fact, that his righteousness was nothing, but that the faith in Christ and his righteousness was everything. Then he desired something else in verse 10, "that I may get to know him and the power of his resurrection." In the Ephesian letter, after having stated what God had done for us, he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame. He was writing to people that he had ministered to for some 3 years. And now as he comes to that portion in life where a new revelation was given him, he writes to them and he prays for them, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling." This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians. Not only the hope of his calling, but also, he goes on to say, that power which God energized in his Son when he raised him from the dead. This is what Paul is talking about here. "That I may get to know the power of that resurrection." Now, on the way to that knowledge, he says there are two other things. The fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable under his death. That's the things I must endure between now and that time. The fellowship of his suffering. Now, I can't enter into the fellowship of the suffering of Christ on Calvary. That's impossible. But the sufferings that he entered into in the days of his flesh. And he says, through suffering he learned obedience as a man. Can you imagine what it must have meant to him when his whole family, he said, keep in mind, you read carefully, his whole family, all his brothers and sisters, he had four half-brothers and at least two sisters. They did not receive him. The prophet was not without honor except in his own home. Can you imagine the heartbreak as to who he was and he rejected by his own people? And not only that, but the very nation that he'd come to minister to. He came unto his own and his own what? Received him not. Can you imagine the heartbreak of our Lord? This is the sufferings he's talking about. Can you imagine that even his own apostles, when he talked to them about Calvary, they didn't understand. They should have, but they didn't. The burden of carrying all this, all the days of his flesh. Yesterday on the radio, we had a lady called in, and she said, "Well, you're not going to change my mind." I said, "Well, lady, look like we got a Mexican standoff here. Not even one of us can give up." You know, that's where they go. I don't know why they do that. They got their mind made up already. They don't want to really run. They want a platform. But you know, that's the way life is. We have to endure these things. I know when I came into the acceptance of the truth of mystery, I thought, man, what a wonderful truth. My God's people would be thrilled to death with it. After striving some 20 years, I look at this result right here. I tell you, it's a heartbreak sometimes. You see? Notice the fellowship of his suffering, conformity unto his death. that I might get to know the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I haven't attained that point right now. I want to leave these two words, attain and obtain. You cannot obtain the prize until you attain the goal. The prize is something for God's people who have been initiated into this secret of Paul's. What a sad thing it is to realize that literally hundreds of thousands of God's people through the ages have known nothing about this. It's almost unbelievable. Paul said that I may get to know him and the power of his resurrection. This is experimental. This is not physical knowledge. This is experimental he's talking about. He had plenty of knowledge about resurrection. In fact, he preached it all the time. There was no secret about that. He wants to talk. He's talking about something that's outside that, something that is the power of resurrection, going beyond resurrection. Resurrection is the hope of all, even the lost. The just and the unjust will receive resurrection. Nothing new about that. But here was a prize Paul was agonizing for to attain. He wanted assurance. Thank God, as he finished his course, he said, the time of my being let loose from above, that's what the word departure means, has arrived. I'm going to be let loose now. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Over in Greece, everywhere we went, if you don't notice anything else, you will notice it in Greece. Great amphitheaters of ancient days where the races were run. It was as idealistic as our football games are today. Probably more so because it cost an awful lot of money to build some of those ancient amphitheaters. And you won't find any city without them. They all had football teams. They didn't call them football teams, they were runners. But you had to be a Greek to run the games. Couldn't even qualify otherwise. In Athens today, not to be outdone by their forefathers, right downtown, in the heart of where the big hotels are, is a solid marble amphitheater seating 75,000 people. The race has not lost its character. It's still there. When you go into the ancient city of Ephesus, if you could travel with me, the best I know how to put it, the sea no longer comes to Ephesus, but in Paul's day it did. If you could have come into that city at night, I want to now if you can follow with me. You come out of the sea into a street about as wide as this building. And for almost, well, at least a half a mile, you're coming a little at a grade up. This street is all covered in hand-tooled mosaic, all covered in it. About every 100 feet is a huge column about 60 feet high. On it was the lights that lighted that street all the way up, all the way. When you get to the end of it, it's a great what? A great amphitheater. If you'd have been there for the first time and had landed at Ephesus and come at night, and what a spectacular picture that was to walk into that city. We think we've advanced an awful lot. But did you know, underneath that city, 10 feet under it, all the way under it, was living rivers of water to keep it constantly washed out, everything going into the sea. These are some things I discovered this time I didn't know about the first time. We spent some time there. We didn't. That was... I can tell you about some cities that are buried. Nobody ever visits to. But we won't get into that this morning. The main thing I want you to see that the emphasis that Paul brings out was because of his own boyhood days. He was raised in that atmosphere. He uses that to illustrate what God is talking to us about. One runs for the prize. Now all of us that have been chosen in God, in Christ before the foundation of the world, have been chosen and guaranteed to be holy without blame. That's a wonderful thing. Paul's not satisfied with that. He wants to know the power of resurrection. Out from it. This is the only time this word appears in the Bible. Resurrection is anesthesia. It's all over the Bible. But this is ek anesthesia. Ek out or eight out from the resurrection, out from the dead people. Paul does not want to wait. He's a busy man. He always was. He's on the move. He's desiring to attain that knowledge experimentally. Now, not he had knowledge of the resurrection. In fact, his first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ was proof of the resurrection. That's the first thing Jesus said to him. Why persecutest thou me, Paul? And the only way that Paul could know who that was the resurrected Christ, you see. So he knew about resurrection. He even wrote to the Thessalonians about it. And he might trust it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture that all the people are talking about today getting into. Paul says, I don't want to wait for that. That don't come to the apocalypse, till our Lord appears. I don't want to wait for that. There's a prize for me, and I'm going to have it by the grace of God. I'm in to run. Now, the race must be run. The Greeks are very careful of how you run a race. I think I've drew you a picture of that once before, but anyhow, every runner has a course. It's marked off for him. In Ephesians, verse 10, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained, are marked off. Our course is set. We must know that. We must know that course. We're running in, as Paul said, you're beating the air. We don't want to beat the air. We want to know. This is to know. That's what Paul said. I may know what it is, you see. Every one of us has a course to run. Some 44 years ago, well, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't even know the verse that the Lord called my attention to. I looked it up. And I'll never forget it, and it's been a struggle all the way. Not a struggle on God's part, but on my part. Take heed unto thyself and to the teaching. Continue thou in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That has rang through the years, my ears. And God has taken me by the scalp of the hair and dragged me all the way through, you know. But I know what the course is. And the older I get, the more I realize. The only thing now, the only prize that really lays before me is exactly what Paul's was. Not only for me, but Paul says, for all you who having loved his appearing. Now that word appearing is the epiphany. This is the most misunderstood in the Bible. It doesn't mean appearing. It may be that he will appear. But that has nothing to do with the meaning of the word. The word phino means to appear, all right. But it's epiphania. It means to shine upon you. In the Old Testament, back in the book of Numbers, you've heard this quoted many times. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to what? Shine upon you. What are you talking about? You want God's intervention. That's what you're talking about. Well, Paul and them at many, many days had labored at sea in the 27th chapter of Acts. So they despaired because the stars did not appear. The stars didn't intervene to show them where they were. That's the meaning of this word, epiphany. All who having loved his intervention. If you have not experienced the intervention of God in your life, then you can't know much about his love. The time whenever you was, whatever that time was, when your back was against the wall, there was nowhere else, there was nowhere to turn. That's when you wanted him to what? To shine upon you. You want his intervention. That's what Paul's talking about as he finishes the race. Listen carefully. The time of my departure, the time of my being let loose from above, that's the word, has arrived. I fought a good fight. I finished the course, and it lays up for me the crown of righteousness. That is, I did the right thing. That's what that means. That word is the stephene. When we were in Athens, Charlie, as a fellow with me, he said, I'd like to see one of those stephenes. And it just happened, I remembered that a museum in Athens There is a Stephina. It's in a room all by itself. They don't allow you to take pictures in there. You got several rooms in there. I said, Charlie, we're going to go in there. And when we get there where that Stephina is, the guy that watches, I'll get his attention away. You take a picture and we get out of here. So we went in this room, and this lady, we were just looking at everything intensively. She had her eye on us. So the room adjoining, I walked into it, and Charlie stayed there. Well, she couldn't very watch, but watch both of us, so she followed me in there, you know. And Charlie got a picture of the front of it, and then he went around the back and got one from the back. It is a beautiful thing. It's been sprayed in gold, but in its original state, it was some kind of a flower with leaves and beautiful leaves and everything made into a swirl like. This is called the Stephina, the crown. This is what the Greeks ran for, was that crown. And Charlie wanted a picture. I said, you're going to get one. So he did. Anyway, and there he took a picture. That's what he's talking about. I finished my course. They laid up for me the Stephina of righteousness. Not only to me, but to all those who having loved his divine intervention. God does not have to come down here to intervene on my behalf. This is why I need to know experimentally the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul said, I do not want to go the resurrection route with the crowd. I'll take it in a second, but I want the best. In other words, Paul's birthright meant something to him. Not like Esau. Esau lost his birthright. Esau did not lose all the blessings, but he lost that. He got second best. Paul said, I want the top heap. Now this calls for two things. Endurance, notice, and the sufferings, even conformity unto his death. That's the thing we must endure between now and then. Now the test will come to you this way. Notice, we're not going to get through all this today, but we'll lay the background for it. And I keep this thought in your mind because this is a very important point. Verse 19. Those who do not see this mind what? Earthly things. Hence we're told in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above. The motivation, think about this with me, beloved, this morning. Your own life. You see, it doesn't do any good to learn about these things in an academic way unless we make application and make them very practical. What is it? Why? Always ask yourself the question, why? Why am I involved in this? What am I doing this for? What's it all about? What am I doing in church this morning? Why am I here? Everything in life turns on that question. You have to ask yourself, why? Why am I involved in it? Why am I doing this thing? What profit's in it? You wouldn't go to work for somebody and work for nothing. You have to have a reason. See, there's an inheritance that all of us have in Christ Jesus. But there's a reward of that inheritance in the race we run. And that's the Stephina of doing the right thing. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. I want you to take this verse down real good. This is also in his last letter, chapter 4. No, chapter 2, I'm sorry. I think we can begin reading it, verse 6. The husband that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, underscore that, we shall also rule with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That is the right to rule. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. The point I want you to see is in the suffering that the reigning takes place. The fact that you're in the family of God, God, our Lord, will not deny himself. You may rest assured this morning, as sure as you're sitting in this auditorium, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has determined that you should be placed as a son, you should be holy without blame before him. That you can rest assured on. That goes with your salvation. But to rise and rule with him, to be among those who, in that day, know the power of resurrection, is another story. That's the reward of your inheritance. That's what Paul's talking about. It has to do with the way we run the race, the course. The course is set for us. It's marked off for us. And so it is that we need to take all the scriptures into consideration to enable us to know what that course is. We'll touch a little on that next week. We won't get there this morning. But I want you to see that the importance of what we're talking about in the out resurrection. This is out something out from, out of, out from, away from the thing that was well known. Resurrection is the hope of all of God's people in every dispensation, every time, every age, regardless of what their calling may be. The only hope they have is resurrection. Paul said, I haven't attained to that place in my plane yet. But I'm going, I'm moving fast. And he said, now notice again and carefully in his thinking, he not only has attained it, but he said, there's laid up for me this crown. That's obtaining. The attaining is the running of the race. The obtaining is the crown itself. Is to be a part of that out resurrection through the sufferings that he's talking about. That's why he said, I may get to know his sufferings. Because in the sufferings is where? Is in the reigning. That's sharing with Christ exactly what he shared in the days of his flesh. That's setting your affection on things above, not here. Far too often, as you examine your own life, you'll begin to see your affection is still earthwise. This is where your mind needs to be brainwashed. It needs to be changed to a heavenly view. Because we not only have been called into the heavenly, we've been called up far above the heavens. There are three distinct calls in the Bible. One has to do with an earthly kingdom. One has to do with a holy city. But one has to do with something far above all principalities and powers. See, this is what Paul is talking about. If we want to reign with him in his highest exalted place, then he will not deny us what he's already offered us and given us, that we are to be holy without blame. But he will deny that place of ruling. If you want to be of the aristocracy, you have a great privilege and an opportunity that a lot of people don't have. You have at least been initiated into the mystery. You know something about the secrets that God is revealing through the Apostle Paul. A lot of God's people don't know anything about them. So you have that advantage. It's a matter of whether or not it means to you what it meant to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I tell you, weeping. Many men. He wasn't talking about the lost. This letter is not written to lost people. It's written to God's people. I tell you, weeping. Many of God's people have become the enemies of the cross of Christ in this regard, not in the ordinary sense. Any time you, I hate to say in judgment because I don't have that right, but I have discernment enough to know that when you resist the Word of God, you're an enemy of the cross of Christ in that degree, whatever it might be. And that's what you do when you get your mind so centered upon the things here that you cannot see anything beyond this life. See, this is what Paul's talking about, that your mind might be taken away from the earthly view into the heavenly. The only reason that you're interested in earthly things at all, or should be, is for the advantage it will give you. Now, for instance, the trip we just saw, a wonderful time we had, But if I went over there just for a tour for my own pleasure, anybody can do that, you know. That's why we rented a car. We took our time. We went where we wanted to. We didn't follow it. We went where a lot of people, where tours were too, but we knew a lot of places they'll never go. Because we wanted to get to see them. We wanted to know exactly the experiences that Paul went to. We went through them. We saw them. We saw the people in the level, local level, right, and talk with them, and had that privilege to get the seal of the atmosphere. And you see the tragedy and the victories too. And that's the value. Why do you want to do this thing? See, does it have something in view that can be used in the purpose of God? Why do you want to make money? What's the purpose of it? To just spend it on yourself or to use it for the Lord? Why do you want to have a good time? Ask yourself these questions. They're very vital questions. Is it in a way that you can have the pleasure of pleasing God? It answers so many questions. I remember, they don't do that much anymore, but people, particularly young people, used to ask me, is it all right if I do this? As if I'm God Almighty telling what's right and wrong, you know. I don't have any right to tell anybody that. But ask yourself the question. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to get involved in that? See, Christ denied himself. Can you imagine his feelings at these pure little human beings running around like a bunch of ants who want to read this word and insulted, being insulted every time he turned around, and him just turning it back, turning the cheek and going on? Our time's gone. I hate to stop here, but anyway, but best you can, keep these things in your mind, because I want to pick it up here next week to get through the chapter, because there's so much in it. It sounds heavenly, and it is, but it's so practical. Once you begin to catch what I'm trying to say to you, I'm not doing a very good job at it, but I want you to share with me what this out of resurrection has meant to me. And primarily because of the trip we just made. I begin to sense what Paul's driving at, and you sense it if you make the trip with me. Father, thank you for the word and this fellowship. Help us keep these things in our mind that next week as we take up these loose ends and draw them all to a conclusion in a way that will just thrill us to death as we realize the high calling, the high prize that now awaits us. Wherever we lack understanding, Lord, give us light. Enlighten us. Because without this, I can't do anything. And so we do look to you for that. Thank you for attending. Bless now, for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.